Okay, next then is the special review, and that is on deferred status of driver's license.
Good morning.
Morning.
My name is Paul Trombino. I'm the director with Iowa DOT, and so appreciate the time that you granted us this morning. I thought maybe I'd just start off and talk a little bit about deferred action for childhood arrival status and what, how the process unfolded and where the department got to and made a decision. It started in June 15th. We were issued a letter from U.S. Department of Homeland Security from the Secretary, which essentially outlined as they defined the deferred action for childhood arrival status and what it meant. And as we understood, the process at that time was still kind of unfolding. So us, along with a lot of states, were trying to understand what was in the memorandum itself, what process was going to unfold. The actual process began, as we understand, in August, where they began an application process for individuals or persons that were defined as deferred action for childhood arrival status. Subsequent, the beginning of the process, my department, along with other states, you know, were continuing to get more information from Homeland Security, along with Childhood and Immigration Services, United States CIS Services, and to really, so that we could understand what process was happening, and then we didn't know what credential would actually be issued. It took some time for us to understand what that meant, and ultimately, as we worked through that over, I'd say, about a six-month process, we got a better understanding of the credential that was going to be issued, and then we got more information on, obviously, what was defined in the Homeland Security memorandum that was issued on June 15th. Using that information, that was when we began really a process to look at Iowa Code specifically and understand what was written in Iowa Code and how what was being, as was being defined in the letter from Homeland Security to make a determination for persons issued deferred action for childhood arrival status. Subsequent to all of that process, we have made a determination, obviously, that based on what Homeland Security has outlined in the memorandum, is that it does not grant lawful status or lawful immigration path. And it's really a prosecutorial discretion extended in a blanket fashion for these individuals who are not lawfully authorized to be present in the United States. Under Iowa Code, for us to issue driver's license, or what we call non-operator identification cards, it requires individuals to be authorized to be present. So as a result, we don't have the authority under Iowa law to issue driver's license or non-operator ID cards to persons granted deferred action for childhood arrival status.
Any questions or comments by legislators?
Mr. Chairman, do we have a copy of this memo that the director is referring to?
You've heard the request. Can you give that?
Yes, we can give that. It was also, we'll make sure that I have one copy here, which I'd be happy to give to you. But I'll get, I'll make sure that they get distributed.
Okay, give them to Joe. Can you get it to each one of us then?
Certainly.
Okay. Is that what you wish?
Yes. And then how is it that this got onto our agenda today? I noticed that it's a special edition. Who requested that it go on our agenda today?
Joe, who requested it to be on our agenda today?
That would be Representative Pepe.
Thank you.
Senator Yoakum, any time a member of the committee wants a rule review, you just, that's the way we work. You can.
So was it your request or another member of the committee that asked you?
Another member of the committee asked me to ask, which I did.
Yes, you're in order.
Thank you. Thanks for coming in today, and I had no idea all this was going on. Sometimes you don't think about the impact of what the Department of Homeland Security does, you know, to us. The rules, and because I think the code does state what you said. I do have some questions on the actual rules. Within the rules, there are a list of different pieces of documentation that a person would show with their application to obtain a license. And there are maybe 10 things if you're a foreign national. I do have a copy of that, but there's three, I guess, that went on the website that are, two of the three are listed as an okay piece of identification in order to receive a license. So I'm just wondering how the information got put on the website, how is it compared to what our current rules are, and do we think we need a rule change based on this determination?
We made adjustments to the website subsequent to our decision when we made the announcement on, you know, middle, towards the end of December, to reflect because individuals through this deferred action for childhood arrival status are getting issued an employment authorization document, and I believe, Madam Vice Chair, that's what you're referring, one of the key documents that we refer to in the rules under 761-601-5 obviously lists all those rules.
Right.
And what Homeland Security did is they created a special category code called category C33, which is distinguished, it's the category that actually gets distinguished right on the front of the employment authorization document. And so that's, it's relatively, you know, easy process for us to identify that category code. And actually when we do verification of the EAD, we go through a verification process when somebody presents, you know, their EAD document. It returns back a status that says, you know, DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival. And so we document that, and that's how we can then have a process to, because of what Iowa law says, we're advocating that we can't issue to those persons because they're authorized to be present, and then we will deny issuance based on that. So from a rule perspective, you know, I think there's, it's consistent right now. It's really the way Homeland Security has dealt with and how they set up a process in issuing that EAD, and it's very easy for us to, you know, accommodate based on how they have created a special category code.
Okay, so basically there's no change from the way it was done from one day to the next. It was just more information posted on the website.
Correct. We were clarifying that those with a category C33 that were issued for deferred action for childhood arrival status under Iowa law, we would not be able to issue them a driver's license or a non-operator ID.
All right, thank you very much.
Representative Vanderlinden.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just for the record, I'm the member who requested that this be put on.
Thank you.
Mr. Trombino, the website change clearly is in conflict with the rule. The rule says if you've got these employment authorization cards, you can get a license. And the website says if you're in C33 status, you can't. Why did you choose to just put it on the website and not go for a formal rules change?
I think that when we looked at the process of what Homeland Security issued a memorandum, they are classifying deferred action for childhood arrival status. They are indicating essentially that there isn't still lawful status for these individuals. So as a result, we went to Iowa Code and focused on what Iowa Code requires them to be authorized to be present. So that's, we still accept EADs. We're just distinguishing, in this sense, that specific category code, which is what Homeland Security did. And I, you know, we'll still accept an EAD. We just have to distinguish what's on that EAD specifically.
But why didn't you use the rules process? Why didn't you propose a change to your own rule instead of just putting it on their website?
Well, because I'm advocating that we're not making a change. We're still accepting the EAD. We're just distinguishing.
Unless you're P-33 status.
Right, which is a category code that was created by Homeland Security.
So what you're saying then is that the Napolitano memo, which I read to indicate that, hey, these people are kind of in limbo until we decide, therefore kind of broadening the category of people who can be in the United States.
Right.
You were actually saying that she narrowed the category, right?
Narrowed what category when you said
those
that?
Those who are going to be in the United States without being subject to deportation immediately.
Right. I'm advocating that what, based on if you read their memorandum, they don't they say that they are not off, they're not giving them lawful authorization to be present. Based on Iowa code, we can't issue a driver's license to that person. And that's based on what is in the memorandum. If you look at the last paragraph, I don't have it in front of me any longer, it specifically says that.
So these people who have employment authorization cards,
add something around,
which I'm assuming they're all aliens of some kind or another, right?
Did he pass anything around?
Uncle have copies.
We would term them as foreign nationals, I think is what they how they term them a lot of times, yes.
Okay, but we have just, are there other categories besides C-33?
Yeah, there are a number. I don't know all the categories, but there are a number of categories.
And the C-33 status is those people who were brought into the United States as children by their parents or guardians or whatever.
As it's defined in the U.S. Homeland Security memorandum. There's a series of, I don't have it in front of me, but those are specifically defined.
And children cannot violate the law because they're not considered capable of understanding the law. But what would you have them do? I mean, they're brought in here by their parents. They've been raised here. They really probably don't even speak whatever language they, or the country they came from. There's no indication that they're going to go back to that country. Why would you want them to have authorization to work and not be able to drive to work with a license and insurance?
Really don't do that as a process in here, and it should be held down. Appreciate your feelings, but this is a quiet place in a sense, working out the facts and trying to get things done, so need to hold that down, okay? Thank you. Now continue.
Representative, I would advocate that the role of the department is to follow what's in Iowa code, and we've made a decision based on them being authorized to present. So we can't issue them driver's license or IDs.
Were you issuing them driver's licenses before you made the change to your website?
So one of the big questions that we had that we didn't get information on was how soon, you know, some of what we had questions about, what, because they it wasn't clear from us, from either USCIS or USDHS, what credential was going to be issued. We didn't know that till later in the process. We didn't know how soon somebody was going to be issued and actually have the document in the state of Iowa. We understood that potentially, obviously, we could have individuals come through where we were still evaluating this issue and trying to understand what was there relative to what is required under Iowa code. And in that interim, the answer to that is yes. We had individuals come through that were issued driver's license and IDs. I mean, it's one of those things where we wanted to make sure that we did our due diligence in the evaluation of not only understanding what was information was provided for us and kind of working and doing the research and understanding of what's in Iowa code. So we have had some in that interim, and we're going to work through a process, as we've tried to indicate it, to you know, let them know that we basically issued them a credential that we weren't authorized to do so. Then their license will be essentially canceled, and we'll ask for it to be surrendered.
So when somebody who already has a license comes up for renewal, you are going to deny them a license at that point?
It's not that they're coming up for renewal. If we've issued a license prior to December 26th, 27th, when, you know, right on that date that we started, because we hadn't worked through that process, we are going to reach out directly to those individuals. We know which individuals they are, and send them a formal cancellation notice, and then ask them to surrender their license.
In your evaluation of what this new category meant, what legal counsel did you seek on that for a definition?
We worked not only with the AG, we obviously have AG counsel, general counsel at the department in Ames, so we worked with them. We also worked directly with the governor's office and talked directly to them about what was in Iowa code, what the process is, what we were hearing from Homeland Security, so trying to bring all of those pieces together.
So the Attorney General of State of Iowa agrees with this?
The general counsel that
assessment.
I have in my office, yes.
Okay. Would you agree with me that maybe these people ought to get driver's licenses, whether that be as a form of ID, but just to make sure that we're allowing people to go to work who are going to be here working anyway, that it would be prudent for them to be licensed and insured? Would you think that's a good policy or not?
You know, I think that, you know, the way I would answer that, you know, with all due respect, is that, you know, we have to implement what's in Iowa code. And I think before for the legislature, they have the right to amend appropriately that act.
And but would you support legislation to change this?
I think that that's really a decision for the legislature.
So you don't expect to come forward with a, hey, we've got a little loophole in the law here that we ought to close? You didn't suggest that?
I am not. Our role is, I think, what we're trying to do is implement what's in the act. I think, unfortunately, you know, sometimes with the way this process has unfolded, I think that question and those answers really need to get moved to a federal level with USDHS and USCIS.
Yeah, I would support the thought that immigration is a federal issue, not a state issue, that's for sure. I would have liked to have seen this come through the formal rules process rather than just a change to a website. I think there's the possibility that people could come forth having read the rules, go to pick up their license and find out when they get there that, oh, by the way, we've changed our website, so the rules really have been overridden here. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Bartsch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Director Trombino, so in the, above and beyond the philosophical differences that members of this committee may have or whatever, what I'm hearing is that in the be careful what you ask for category, Secretary Napolitano's memo actually by saying deferred action creates in many respects the flag that they're not authorized to be here and therefore triggers, I guess it's in this last paragraph, and therefore triggers your being notified that they really shouldn't be issued the licenses.
Well, you know, I think that what's important to note is that I think as Representative indicated before, immigration is a federal issue, very clearly. Issuing driver's license and IDs is a state issue. Every state's code is written a little bit different and has some unique issues to it. And what we had to do was evaluate what was being said here for those individuals. And I think it does say, you know, that there is no substantial right, immigration status, or pathway to citizenship. Only Congress, acting through its legislative authority, can confer these rights. And it remains the executive branch, however, to set forth policy for exercising discretion within the framework of the existing law. So again, that kind of gets back to authorized presence and what we're advocating.
Right. And the deferred action is tied to a specific act, which would have been removing those individuals or deportation, basically,
prosecution
for not being here legally.
Correct. That's our understanding.
So I guess that's my comment regarding seeing the memo here for the first time, is it is in many respects, be careful what you ask for. The deferred action in some respects letter, I mean, because you yourself said you were notified by Department of Homeland Security on June 15th from the Secretary regarding this.
Correct.
And before that, you were not planning on taking any action, I'm assuming, or nothing had changed would have been the best way to put it.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. Nothing had
changed.
Thank
you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Heaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to go back to the beginning in your first remarks when you referred what your action to the Iowa Code. So could you tell us one more time about what exactly is in the Iowa Code that says you are doing the right thing?
in under Iowa Code 321-182, 321-190, 321-196. It specifically requires a driver's license or non-operator ID card shall only be issued to a foreign national authorized to be present in the United States. And
could you speak into your mic, too?
I'm sorry.
We have some people that have some difficulty hearing.
Right. Under Iowa Code 321-182, 321-190, 321-196, a driver's license or non-operator ID card shall only be issued to a foreign national authorized to be present in the United States. As a result of understanding what we've talked about in what's in U.S. Department of Homeland Security's letter, these persons do not have legal authority under current Iowa law. We don't have legal authority under Iowa law to issue a driver's license or an ID because the person is granted deferred action. They don't have they're not authorized to be present in the United States.
Well, I disagree with you from the standpoint that because they have deferred, then these people are temporarily authorized to be here. I mean, where they maybe necessarily said you shouldn't be here, we're going to defer, and therefore you have the right to be here through this executive action. And that being the case, I believe that these people should be open to receiving a driver's license here in the state. What is your response to that?
Again, you know, I would advocate that based on our understanding of what's in code, what the research that we've done, there is no difference between lawful status and legal presence. Those who are granted deferred status, it does not accrue lawful presence. As a result, we are not, under Iowa code, we're not allowed to issue a driver's license or non-operator ID.
Well, I mean, you told me that a national who is authorized can receive the ID. I'm saying that because of the deferment, they are temporarily authorized to be here. And you say that's not true.
I say that it's really, they're granting broad prosecutorial discretion extended in a blanket fashion to persons that are not lawfully authorized to be present in the United States. And as a result, based on what's in Iowa code, we cannot issue a driver's license or non-operator ID.
Representative Vanderlyn, when you were in your questioning period with the director here, you talked about a rule, and then you talked about a website, and you talked about parentheses.
Mm-hmm.
Could you go back through that one more time?
Yes, sir. On the DOT website right now about item 9, well, actually in the rules, we refer to employment authorization cards I-688 A and B and I-766 as being documents that if you have that document, bring it to the license, you can get a license. That same statement, employment authorization cards, I fill in the blank, is also on the website, except then there's a dash and it says, must not be issued under category C-33, deferred action for childhood arrivals. So
somebody extended the rule.
Modified the rule.
Modified
on the website.
On the website.
Right.
Giving, and that supporting the department's position on how they're taking it.
Yes, sir.
So they changed, they altered the rule to fit what you wanted to do. Is that not true?
Yeah, I would advocate that, you know, what the change in the process is what Homeland Security did with the employment authorization document. We still accept EADs. You know, I think this really gets back to how they approach this and creating a specialized category code and trying to distinguish the issue of folks and persons that are here, but they're still not granting them authorization to be present. So as a result, based on code, we can't issue to these persons.
It just frustrates me from the standpoint that it seems to me that if they would have had their status today by the executive action of the feds, these people would be issued this deferred status and would have a card to prove it. Is that not correct? And if they stepped forward and went to a driver's license station and had that card, until you extended the rule, they would have been able to get a driver's license.
Well, you know, sorry.
Right or not?
I would advocate that's the definition comes from Homeland Security. They're the ones changing and modifying the EAD and adding the specialized category code, which naturally we had to make sure that we understood what that, how that referenced back to Iowa code.
So I guess, I know this is just a special review, and so what's handed to us in the legislature, I guess, is the only way that that we will be able to alter your proposal will be through legislative action. Is that correct?
That is correct. And I would advocate that if you look to even in adjacent states, they are doing that also.
If you wouldn't have extended the rule, we wouldn't have had to have any legislative action.
I would advocate, you know, our role is to focus what's on, you know, the rules. Everything comes from Iowa code, and what's in Iowa code doesn't allow us to issue a driver's license or a non-operator ID. And the only thing I was advocating before is that if you look at states that are issuing, their legislatures have taken action specifically to address this issue. And Illinois is the one that most recently made action. I think it was approved either yesterday or today.
Georgia did too.
Yep. So
they issued drivers.
I would advocate that's the role.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Next, I'd like to hear from the governor's office.
Okay, thanks. Director Trombino, I just had a couple questions just to try to clear things up a little bit. Prior to the action by Homeland Security over the summer, last summer, was this group of people that we're discussing, were they eligible for Iowa driver's licenses previously?
They were not.
Okay, they were not eligible for licenses. And did you change your department's rules so that they would not receive driver's licenses?
No.
No, okay. I think that's a key point because here the director's job is to follow Iowa law. Iowa law requires authorized presence in order to receive a driver's license. Homeland Security engaged in a new process for deferred action, and in the memo they made available publicly that everyone should have, it's clear that it's an exercise in prosecutorial discretion that they're not going to institute removal proceedings and prosecute people for immigration violations if they qualify for this category for up to 2 years. It's a temporary exercise in prosecutorial discretion, a temporary stay. And at the end of the memo, and I just like to read this because I think it helps to shed some light on what Iowa law requires in light of the federal law, and it says, this memo confers no substantive right, immigration status, or pathway to citizenship. It doesn't confer authorized
presence.
I need
to interrupt. We have an objection here, a point of order of taking pictures. And I don't know, would you like to clarify what your request is?
I mean, if we had everyone stand up and take our pictures, could we just keep some order in here? No remarks, no clapping, no cell phones coming out, taking our pictures. Thank you.
The request has been made by a committee member that we kind of keep it toned down a little bit here, so.
Sure.
Bush, continue.
Sure, thanks. Well, I think, has been said quite a bit, immigration law belongs to the federal government. In fact, states can't interfere with immigration law in any way. It's precluded. And here in Iowa, it comes down to what authorized presence means for a driver's license, the current standard in the Iowa code. So I just wondered if Director Trombino wanted to comment on that, maybe tell us what some of our neighboring states or other states might have. My understanding is there's not uniformity in definitions for driver's license. Some states give driver's licenses to illegal aliens. Some don't. What are some other of our neighboring states or other states doing in light of the DHS action?
Yeah, it's. I think, you know, it has created quite a mixture for the states because of the differences in Iowa in each state's code, because driver's licenses and IDs are really a state issue. There's differences in how they authorize presence, legal presence, lawfully present. Every state has a different definition. There are states specifically, I'll give you a couple examples, that do, as you've indicated, allow legal immigrants to obtain a driver's license. Those are New Mexico and Washington. There's a state of Utah actually allows undocumented immigrants to apply for what they call special driver's license that allows them to drive but does not serve as a form of identification for any other purposes. You know, so there's quite a bit of variance, and as I was advocating before, if you look at a lot of states, California, Illinois, a lot of the ones around have their legislators have taken specific action to either address or clarify this issue. And, you know, the other thing that I would put out is there are states that actually have specific language that says that they can't issue a driver's license very specifically about deferred action in that sense also. So that's why I say it runs the whole gamut of how states are approaching this. And again, we're not, you know, what we're, our role is obviously to follow what's in the Iowa Code. That's what we're advocating we're doing. We're not advocating that it can't be changed by the legislature or any other process. That's what's out there for it to be determined.
From the governor's office for the time being. Okay, thank you. Representative Vanderlyn.
I apologize for the second time, Mr. Chairman. I'm becoming more confused. Prior to the Napolitano memo, if I was a deferred status alien or somebody, a child who had been brought in here and the status hadn't been created yet, but that's who I am, if I had one of these employment authorization cards and I went in to get a driver's license, I would have been issued one, correct?
I don't know how you would have got an employee authorization document.
Well, they have them.
They have them.
I mean, I can show you copies of them. People have gotten licenses this way. Would you not acknowledge that?
I agree with you that we have used EADs as a part of our process for foreign nationals because it's a common process.
Still say you will accept those.
What I'm advocating is deferred action for childhood arrival status did not exist until June 15th, 2012.
So if a person walked into one of your offices with one of these cards, you wouldn't have known whether he was deferred status or a child who had been brought in here illegally or somebody else. He had one of these cards and therefore was eligible to get a license, correct?
And as I understand, they wouldn't have been issued a card because the category code hadn't been created and deferred action for childhood arrival status hadn't been defined.
Let's go through this step by step. Your rules say if I have an employment authorization card, that can be used as a document to get a driver's license. Do they not?
Yes.
Okay. So 3 weeks ago, if I had one of those cards, as many people in the new deferred status did, and I walked in, you couldn't tell whether I was a person who's now in the deferred status or if I was somebody else who even today is eligible for an Iowa driver's license, correct?
If you are asking that in the interim while we were still doing the evaluation, if a person came in with an EAD, would we know that it's a deferred action for child arrival status? And the answer to that is yes. We actually would know because when we do the verification process for the EAD, it returns, as I was indicating before, it returns a code called DACA. So that gets input into our system, which is how we are able to identify those individuals specifically who are issued either a driver's license or a non-operator ID to let them know that we issued them, as we've determined, a driver's license or identification card that is inconsistent with our ability to do it under Iowa code, which is why we have to ask for it back.
Let me try it one more time. If I walked in there in September of last year and I had one of these cards, you issued licenses to those people, right?
That is correct.
And some of those could have been what are now C-33 people.
They were C-33. So, I'm advocating that we did. Advocating during our evaluation of trying to understand when the cards and all of the process of what was defined in Homeland Security.
Right.
I'm not trying to say that we didn't. I know that we did.
But in answer to Ms. Findley's question, right, you said that those people at that time were ineligible. to get an Iowa driver's license.
Correct, because of what we've defined under Iowa code is that we're not allowed to issue. They don't have authorization to be present. So as a result, which is why we have to go back and let them know that we issued it. Essentially, we didn't have authority under code to issue that driver's license, which is why it is no longer valid, and we have to ask for them to surrender it.
I sure don't understand how that supports the DOT goal of improving safety across all transportation systems. To me, this is the Department of Transportation getting into immigration policy, and I just don't understand. But thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Pettingill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Looking at this, it looks like DHS, Department of Homeland Security, they're the ones that change the functions of these two employment authorization documents, right? Or they added a function.
Correct.
And I don't see how because it says an unexpired employment authorization document, how would a person who, and this is not your purview, Department of Homeland Security would be issuing employment authorization documents to people that aren't supposed to be working here? Or I guess, and that's not under your purview, because you're saying if they have this, it's not our job to issue these, and they've changed the function of that form, so now you have to take your own action. But I don't understand how they got the card to begin with, or the form to begin with.
Yeah, the process they established, that would really be a question for U.S. Homeland Security and USCIS, Childhood and Immigration Services. I can't answer that question.
Okay, but I agree with your stance that they wouldn't have the form. Okay, thank you so much for coming and trying to clear this up.
Representative Bolton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Vander Linden, for bringing this to our attention. Thank you for your line of questioning. I've got a few questions. I still don't understand the answer that you gave Mr. Vander Linden, Representative Vander Linden. Do we have folks out there that have driver's licenses in their possession that have been issued by Iowa DOT that you now claim should not have been issued?
The answer to that is yes, and that was because we had no idea when USDHS or USCIS were going to be issuing the documents. We didn't know when they were coming in. What we wanted to do was spend time to make sure, I would advocate we spend due diligence working through understanding what was on our code, understanding what Homeland Security, and I knew specifically there was a risk because we didn't know exactly when a person would be issued a document, much less come into a driver's license station to look for a driver's license or identification card. And I think if you look at, because we were not given any information from U.S. DHS or USCIS as to how that process or how many there were in the state of Iowa, we really didn't know that information. What was most important then for us, my personal feeling was, is to make sure that we spent time understanding what USDHS was doing, what was in Iowa code, so that we made what I consider a consistent decision with what our understanding of Iowa code is.
And over what period of months or years were these folks getting driver's licenses that you now say should not have gotten?
The process, letter outlined.
Easy question, months or years? Don't tell me about the process.
Probably within the last month.
So just some folks within the last month?
Yes.
Nobody 2 or 3 months ago? Nobody 2 or 3 years ago?
I don't know. If you're asking me specifically what the earliest date was, I don't know that answer. It has a lot to do with, that's why I keep coming back to, if you give me a second here, June 15th is when they issued this definition for deferred action. They started an application process in August. When the first EAD was issued to a person in Iowa, I do not know, okay? I can, and I don't have that information now, I can probably get a sense for that, but I would suspect that we probably saw our first person in late November, maybe, early, and it seemed like in December were the majority as we were then kind of working through our process.
So you would be able to provide that information to this board fairly quickly because you're able to access these folks because you're going to send them cancellation letters.
Correct.
Would you do that?
I will be able to tell you when, not who the person is or any identification,
ID,
right?
Yeah. You would know how many.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
What language do you propose that the legislature adopts to allow this class of individual to be granted driving privileges?
You know, I'm not here proposing legislation. You know,
I'm not asking you to propose it.
Right.
I'm asking you to tell me what language you would need.
And I think that what we would do is provide you other states' definitions, and I think you could look to our most adjacent state of Illinois, who just passed legislation, and we would, I think, work with the governor's office to provide you to make sure you have that information, what's in their code. Because everyone is different, and I think that clarification would have to, you know, then get tailored towards some of the specifics that are in Iowa code.
You've circulated the Homeland Security Memorandum, and this memorandum is very specific. It is addressed to Aguilar, put on my glasses. It's addressed to three folks. It's a directive to them. It's not addressed to the 50 states. What do you feel, as the director, is the legal impact of a memorandum from Homeland Security? It hasn't been passed by Congress. It's not a rule. It's merely a memorandum from an agency head. Tell me what you feel the legal impact is.
You know, I'm not an attorney, you know, and I'm not here to define some of the legal aspects for it. You know, we worked with our general counsel and obviously with the governor's office to help us make that determination as we understood what was in Iowa code. You know, I would defer that question because I think it's better asked towards somebody with that expertise.
So in the legal advice that you received from the governor's office or from general counsel, what did they tell you that the effect of a mere memorandum from a agency head of the federal government has with state violence? What did they tell you?
Well, what we came back to is trying to understand. They're the ones defining what deferred action is. And again, I apologize if I'm repeating answers, but we're working with USDHS, understanding how they're defining deferred action, and understanding how that relates to authorized to be present, which is in Iowa code.
How do we make the determination at the state level whether or not somebody is authorized to be present?
How do we? Well, we would use, based on information that was provided, in this case, we're using information that's coming from a federal agency, because they're defining it.
By memorandum, not by rule.
It says that.
Right. Well, and I think specifically they say that in the letter, which is part of the, I think the question that was raised before, is it says only Congress acting through legislative authority can confer these rights.
Understanding that, you're utilizing the memorandum to disallow a group of individuals from getting a driver's license or a picture ID.
It's the only information that was available to me, sir.
Thank you very much. We'll chat again. Thank you.
Any more questions or comments by any legislator? Any from the general public? Come forward, please. And have a seat and state your name.
Hi, good morning. My name is Vanessa Carolina del Valle Marcano. I'm a member of IOCCI, and I'm a proud immigrant from Venezuela living here in Des Moines. I'm here to speak against the Iowa Department of Transportation anti-immigrant decision to deny licenses to people who qualify for deferred status. People who obtain deferred action status have to go through a very rigorous process. They have to qualify for a certain amount of criteria. They have to have been here from a certain age. They have to have no criminal background. They have to be either high school graduates or be in high school or be in college. And they have to have been here before a certain date. And then they have to take that all that evidence and submit it to immigration and to Homeland Security, and then they approve their deferred action status. It's a very rigorous process. And then after they're deferred, they're given deferred action status, they're allowed to work here and they're allowed to stay here. I'm here on an H-1B work visa. I'm allowed to stay here and I'm allowed to work here. Now I'm allowed to get a driver's license. These are my immigrant brothers and sisters. They're people of our community. And they have also been allowed to work here and to stay here. So why can't they get a driver's license? Shame on the Iowa Department of Transportation for this anti-immigrant affront to crush the dreams of young, hardworking people who love this country and who have given their heart and soul to be here. Let them get their driver's licenses. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions to her from any legislator? Yes, Representative Penningill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ma'am, thanks for coming. So you're saying that you meet those criteria, and then you can get from Department of Homeland Security an employment authorization?
I'm saying I'm here on a worker's visa. I'm here on an H-1B work visa, and I'm allowed to work here, and I'm allowed to stay here. I'm not deferred action, but deferred action youth have been given authorization to work here and to stay here. There is no difference. And I also had to show a lot of papers at the Iowa DOT in order to get my license. And there's a certain classification from Homeland Security that classifies me that I have a work visa. There's people with different status.
I don't mean you particularly, but you named off a number of criteria that you would have to meet. So that would be for the H-1
work visa. No, the ones that I listed are for deferred action. Deferred action youth, deferred action status. You have to have no criminal background, you have to be in high school or have to have gotten your GED, you have to be in college,
does that give
different
you,
things.
My question is, does that give you the form?
Once you meet those criteria, you gather all those documents, and then you fill out an application, you send that to Homeland Security, you pay a fee, they process your information, and then they decide to give you deferred action status. And then once you get deferred action status, you get a work authorization card, employment authorization document.
Okay, so that's the point, you get the employment authorization. Well, prior to the executive order and prior to this memo, the employment authorization did not go to that class of people, correct?
This was a newly created
right.
status
so
by Homeland Security.
I don't think they were able to get that employment authorization card prior to this executive order, And do you know any differently than that?
I'm not very sure, but I know that different types of immigrants can get employment authorization cards for any, like there's like TPS or different types of things.
All right, thank you.
Any more questions? Okay, any more in the general public would like to come forward?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name's Hugh Espy. I live here in Des Moines. I'm a member of Iowa CCI. I'm the executive director of Iowa CCI. And we're here to stand in solidarity with Vanessa and others like her across the state. We feel that the December 27th decision by IDOT Director Paul Trombino to deny driver's licenses to young immigrants who have been approved to stay and work here in the country has a clear anti-immigrant bias. Why deny driver's licenses to immigrants who've been given permission by the federal government under the Deferred Action Program to be here legally in this country? They've gone through an extensive review process and have been granted work permits that allow them to stay here up to 2 years, maybe longer. They are, for all intents and purposes, documented residents of our state, and if they can pass a standard driving test, why not give them a driver's license? In our opinion, there's no rational reason not to. We ask ARC to throw out this rule. We also ask IDOT Director Trombino to drop it. Thank you.
Any questions by any legislator or comments? Not, thank you. Any more general public come forward? Come forward, please.
I'm Rita Bettis, and I am the legislative director of the ACLU of Iowa. And we actually submitted written comments to all of you individually, which I hope you received yesterday. We were joined in that by the American Friends Service Committee Immigrants Voice Program, Iowa Catholic Conference, Las Americas Trinity United Methodist Church, the Iowa Annual Conference of United Methodist Church, Interfaith Alliance of Iowa, Iowa Justice for Our Neighbors, National Association of Social Workers, Iowa Chapter, AMOS, the Latino Law Students Association, and Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement. I will just say that we will be asking the department to reconsider its decision because he's very much correct in stating that Iowa code requires that foreign nationals be authorized to be present in order to be licensed. However, we would disagree that DACA recipients are not authorized to be present. That is because, I would just point out with some of your questions in particular, Representative Pettingill, going to whether or not I think deferred action as a category existed prior to the June date, and to answer your question, yes, it did, which is why the Iowa regulations specifically refer to documentation showing deferred action as a category to verify eligibility to get a license. And that's one of the type of documents that you can show in order to get a license prior to the decision on the federal level to make this group of people eligible for deferred action. So this created a new type of deferred action, which qualifies as authorized to be present, but it is not true that deferred action did not exist prior to that date, which I hope makes sense. I would also just add that as a public policy matter, which I think this has already been brought up, it is in the interest of all of us driving that people have licenses, that they take driver's tests, and that they're able to get car insurance. I would also just correct some of the statements that have been made about other states specifically authorizing DACA recipients to get licenses. Illinois and California, which you refer to, have actually specifically authorized undocumented immigrants to get licenses. That is a category that is much broader than DACA recipients. We would argue that DACA recipients, having received the following documents, authorization to remain for 2 years, which is renewable, a Social Security card, and employment authorization, are documented. So we will be approaching your office and seeking reconsideration of the matter. We do not believe that legislative action is needed. We believe that the current law and current regulatory scheme allow for licensing, and that denial of that licensing is hugely problematic. Thank you.
Any questions by any legislator or comments? If not, then anyone else from the general public who wants to come forward?
Thank you.
Joe Enriquez Henry, State Director for League of United Latin American Citizens. I would just like to note my agreement with the ACLU. We're part of their statements that have been given to you all. And in stating in the documents that they provided, just kind of sum this up. These bright young people are authorized by the federal government to be present in the United States for a renewable period of 2 years and are federally authorized to work. Determining they are not authorized to be present, as argued by the DOT in AG's office, not only contravenes common sense, but the law. Issuing driver's licenses to Iowa Dreamers is a good public policy. Driver's licenses are essential for these bright young people to drive to school and to work, not to mention the grocery store, church, or a doctor's visit. It will also allow them to seek car insurance and promote public safety. DACA recipients already entitled to driver's licenses is in Iowa, and apparently you're going to take those away. But we're going to ask the DOT to reconsider its earlier determinations. Thank you.
Any questions by any legislator or comment to the speaker? Not, thank you very much. Any more from the general public out there that wants to testify before us? Great, okay, please.
Good morning, everyone. First of all, I want to thank all of you for being at the table and listening to what's happening to us. The deferred action to me is a presidential order, a respect for the President of the United States and the United States that we live in. I have been a court-appointed interpreter for many years. A lot of the cases that I've served as an interpreter is for people that don't have a license. They get fined, they pay the fine, and then they show up in court again because they do not have a license. These are young people that were brought here, not because they wanted to be here, because they were my child, and we decided that this was a place where we could at least have bread to eat and a bed to sleep in. So we brought our children here. Now, some of us have had to tell our children that they don't have a legal status. But yet the president has said this is a deferred action, and I have worked as a tutor in the school district, and I know that we want our children to be educated, to be productive, and to be aggressive at times when they have to be, to defend their rights. And I believe that this deferred action would say to you, I've told you all about my family. You know that maybe my father and mother aren't legal, but you know all about me, and Homeland Security knows that. They know that. I also teach immigration classes to become citizens of the United States. I'm shamed at times when I see things that are going on because I have been privileged. I was born in Oklahoma, and I've lived here since I was 5 years old. I voted in every election. I've last had my choice of working at a poll and helping people register to vote. These are things that we prize and we maintain. So these children are being crucified for something that has been given to them, and they've been hardworking, they're attaining a college education, or they're finishing their high school. Just in the morning paper this morning, you see a young man that's been here on a visa, and he's not, and the possibilities will not be able to stay. But these children are not in that category. These children are growing young, respected, responsible young adults. So I would ask you to do whatever it is necessary to help these children attain that license. Thank you.
Any questions of her?
Could she state her name for the record, please?
Yeah. Oh, pardon me. Since I'm a community activist, I think everybody knows me. My name is Mary E. Campos, 1900 Southeast 6th Avenue, apartment 213. Thank you, sir.
Any more questions of her? Any more from the general public to testify before the committee?
Hello, thank you. My name is Araceli Good. I'm known as Sally, as my name is unpronounceable. But I'm here just to say that I thank you for listening for the questions of the DOT, and I understand you're in a lot of pressure. But yet, I have to say that you go went around and around, okay, and we never got the meat of the problem. So I'm asking the legislator to really clarify this for the departments, what they're supposed to do and what they can do. And make sure that it's not only on politics that this thing is being done. We're supposed to be bipartisan. We're supposed to be care about the people in our state. I'll have to say what Mary has said is true. These young people are a great asset to our community. They are the future leaders of the community. They are doctors, lawyers, legislators, hopefully someday. We don't know, but for us to cut them down when they are having a, they say, okay, I have an opportunity. I have 2 years to work to be able to maybe get my, my paperwork and the money that I'm going to need to get filed for my citizenship. It's not cheap. It costs a lot of money to get a citizenship, you know, for yourself, for your family, whatever. And a lot of times it's, you have to work so hard to support your family that you don't have that little extra to set aside for this momentous amount of money that you have to gather. So I, all I'm asking is you, for you to consider that, give direction to the directors of the policies for these departments so that they know that deferred means deferred. It's, that's the word, deferred. It means you have a chance to, an opportunity to change your life, you know, in a way. So give these young people that opportunity to be able to go to work instead of get building. If they get tickets, if they get jailed, and they are, you know, all of these, they, that counts against your citizenship. Believe me, they look into your background and they say, well, this person has been having so many tickets because they broke the law. So you see, it, it is a necessary thing for them to have a driver's license, for them to be able to participate in the community, to go to work, to go to school. So and without having a monkey on their back worrying about, oh my gosh, I'm going to get caught and I'm going to have something against me and I will not get my citizenship, you know, papers in order. To us, a ticket is a ticket, no big deal. But that ticket stays on your record for years. It never goes away. If you ever looked, if anybody got a ticket, you'll look on your website and you'll see every ticket that ever issued to you is on online. So this is the stigma that goes attached to these young people, not through something of their fault, because they want to have a license, they want to have insurance, but because they're not able to obtain it, they're in non-compliance of the law. So I ask again that you consider and really look at the options that are available for these young people, and instead of making it harder for them to obtain their citizenship, I'm not asking you for you to give them citizenship. They have a process we have to follow. But do not put barriers in front of them that they have to make another hurdle to be able to obtain that status. Thank you.
Any questions for her before she leaves? Anybody, any legislator?
I'd like to clarify something.
Okay, we have a question for you. Representative Penningo.
Sorry, thanks. You did a great job. I just wanted to say we're not trying to throw barriers in front of anybody. We're just trying to follow the law and the rules and figure out what it is and what we need to do.
I understand that. I really do. But sometimes we become so bogged down in looking at what the legal, you know, the legal term or what it means that we lose the focus of the whole picture of what it means. A lawyer can we can all be looking at the same thing, and they all both come with different aspects of the same thing. They never will agree because they have their own point of view, you know, of what it means. So we need to get clarify, okay, this is what it deferred means, period.
I just wanted to clarify that we're not trying to throw up barriers.
Well, I know you're not trying to, ma'am, but it is, you know, I mean, not you specifically, but it is a barrier. So I'm just,
oh, I
okay.
Understand it's a barrier, but okay, thank
any
you.
Any more questions by any legislator with her?
Oh, you too.
who, you have one?
I don't have a question. No.
No
I don't like to
question.
Talk.
I'm just going to shake your hand on the way by.
Oh.
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have any more from the general public to testify before the committee?